More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, Out of Bounds. Are people struggling to respect your boundaries? Are you unsure how to make them stick? We'll help you set healthier limits. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Out of Bounds. Are people struggling to respect your boundaries? Are you not sure how to set the boundary in the first place? Because, you know, it just seems to upset everybody when you try. Right? Or maybe you're not sure how to make those boundaries you've set stick. Well, we want to help you make them a little stickier today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Well, we don't want to make them too sticky in your relationships. We want to make them work for you. You know, what if you're the person who's saying, what in the world's boundary? Because there are a lot of us who live that way. We were raised to be people pleasers. We were raised to believe that if we, you know, say, this is what I want or need, that somehow that's not Christian enough, and that's not good, and people will disapprove of us. So we just spend an awful lot of time living in self-denial, but in a really unhealthy way, not a good spiritual way. And you're thinking, how do I even begin? Well, whether you're trying to make your boundaries stick better and those relationships work better, or you want to discover how to do it in the first place, we're here for you today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I want to go back to something you said because I think it bears fleshing out a little bit. You know, that idea of, you know, you mentioned
self-denial.
And how, you know, that call to self-denial sometimes gets in the way of people setting appropriate boundaries. So I want to talk about the difference there between healthy self-denial and an unhealthy self-denial, or for that matter, holy self-denial and unholy self-denial.
That's the better. Yeah, that's the better definition for
because,
sure.
You know, self-denial is an important part of the Christian walk, but it has to be ordered to our good and the good of others, right? Because we're called to love. That's the most important thing. And loving ourselves and others means working for our ultimate good and for the ultimate good of others. So if working for my ultimate good or somebody else's ultimate good requires me to practice that self-denial, well, then that's healthy and that's good and that's holy. But if I'm exercising self-denial by not setting boundaries with people who are behaving in sinful or hurtful or destructive ways, that's not good. That's actually enabling somebody to do wrong. Right? And so this idea of setting boundaries is actually an important part of the Christian walk as well, as long as those boundaries are ordered to each other's ultimate good. But that can be hard to figure out, you know, from situation to situation. So we want to help you understand what it means to set those healthy boundaries, not just to protect yourself, but also to prophetically call the people around you to be better. because that's what good boundaries do. You know, a lot of people think that boundaries are about cutting people off. They don't set boundaries, and they get angrier and angrier and angrier until all of a sudden the only thing I can do is cut this person out of my life. And then you feel guilty about it, so then you rescind the boundary because you felt guilty and you did it out of anger, and then you set yourself back up for the same problem.
Well, and at the front of that, a lot of us think that we've set a boundary because we are angry. And perhaps we're just letting that anger fester inside of us every time we have to think about being with that person or interacting with that person or getting a text or an email. Then we just think horrible things. We feel absolutely angry at the person. We're telling them off in our heads. We're saying in our minds that we don't want to see them or deal with them. But we're not actually ever conveying a real boundary to that person. So we're spinning our wheels. Yeah, we're angry.
The anger is its own boundary.
We think that through some kind of like proverbial butterfly effect, they're going to feel it across the world and just get themselves together and apologize. And it doesn't work that way.
So like a healthy Christian boundary is where we kind of, you know, prayerfully and soberly recognize that, look, this is what needs to happen in order for us to both be healthy with each other. And I'm just going to set that limit because that's what we both need to be healthy around each other and holy around each other. And this is just the way it's going to have to be. I'm not cutting you out of my life. I'm saying, look, if you want to be around me, this is the way we have to be. So, you know, if you love me and you love, you know, doing what's good and right, then you'll do this. And if you don't, well, then I'm giving you the freedom to go someplace else. But you know, I'm not shutting the door in your face. I'm actually holding it open. I'm just not letting you climb in the back window of my house anymore.
Yeah.
And we'll flesh this all out throughout the course of the program. But we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Are you struggling to set a boundary with somebody who's treating you poorly? Maybe you're having a hard time at knowing what a good boundary would be in the first place and what to do or say to communicate that. Or maybe you've told them to stop doing that hurtful thing, and you feel like you've set the boundary, only to have them keep doing it anyway. What do good boundaries look like for Christians? Are we even allowed to set them? Well, yes, but let's talk about what it means to do that.
Or perhaps you have somebody in your life, a child, who somebody is, you know, invading their space, bullying them, doing something that you're saying, how do I teach them how to set a safe boundary? Maybe you have a loved one, you know, your sister, your parents who are, you know, dealing with somebody or something. And you're saying they're not setting any boundaries and people are walking all over them. How do I help them? So if it's you who's struggling with those boundaries, absolutely give us a call today. But if you got somebody in your life that you're saying, how do I tutor them in all of this so that they can have healthier relationships and be safer spiritually, emotionally, and maybe even physically, give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it can help you set better boundaries, well, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we could prayerfully discern God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, and specifically of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that we are called to live in communion with each other. That's our destiny, to be one with God and each other. And yet, in the Christian vision of unity, becoming one with God and the communion of saints doesn't require the destruction of self. That is the total denial of our God-given needs, hopes, and dreams. We're made in the image and likeness of God, who is one God, but still three distinct persons. Like the Trinity, even though we're called to live in communion, we still get to be our very own persons. We're allowed to protect and assert our God-given needs and hopes and dreams. even in heaven, when we are entirely united with God and every other person in heaven, we will still be us.
And that's why healthy boundaries are important. You know, they allow us to get close to other people while still maintaining our own integrity and dignity as persons who deserve to be known and loved not as a means to an end or an extension of somebody else's ego, but as persons in our own right. Healthy boundaries allow us to pursue unity with others in a way that's still respectful of our dignity to be unique and unrepeatable persons. Healthy boundaries are never intended to be a way of hurting other people, and they're not usually a way of cutting people off, like I said earlier. But the best boundaries simply give somebody a healthy way to do the thing they're trying to do in an unhealthy way. You know, has that person been speaking disrespectfully? Well, a good boundary shows them how to address their concerns in a more respectful way. Has somebody been taking advantage? Well, a good boundary gives them a way to meet their needs without being selfish. You know, good boundaries create the proper amount of space in a relationship to allow each person to thrive. They let us stop worrying about protecting ourselves from each other so we can properly give ourselves to each other. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. Give us a call if you're struggling with setting good boundaries or getting them to stick. 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love being able to ask those follow-up questions that help us tailor our responses to your particular concerns. So give us a call, 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring those situations to you right now where we're struggling to have or set good boundaries or enforce those boundaries. Help us to see boundaries as that opportunity to work for each other's good. To, yes, protect ourselves from offenses and hurts and being treated as an object instead of a person, but also to call the people around us on to being healthier and better people who can meet their needs and address their concerns in healthy, holy, and respectful ways. Help us to use boundaries to build communion and create healthier, holier relationships, and know how to hold on to those boundaries even in the face of resistance or pressure or antagonism, so that we can build your kingdom by making stronger, healthier relationships rooted in your grace. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled Out of Bounds. Are people struggling to respect your boundaries, or maybe you're struggling to set them in the first place? We want to help you set healthier limits and make them stick. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Mexico.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Okay. So there's a lot of moving people in this situation, so I'll try to keep it a little bit basic. But my dad... he just turned 81 today, actually, and his wife, who I adore, and her children, who I also adore, and the grandchildren, who I adore. Okay.
Nobody's
hating anybody here.
Lots of adoring going on. Gotcha. Okay.
Which is a great platform to start with. That is excellent.
but what's happening though, okay, is that her children are not respecting her boundaries or my father's boundaries. They're leaving these very young children, and I mean like 1, 5, and 7, okay, with my dad and his wife, okay. He just had a stroke not too long ago. She has two types of cancer, and they have enough money to afford nannies and to do this. And so I don't know... And I know that she wants to keep the grandkids all the time because I know she wants to see them because she's worried about dying. I understand that. Okay. Mm. But they need to respect their health concerns. And so I'm not sure how to say this. My father is not a religious person whatsoever. And so, and she is a, I will just say, a very, very jaded former Catholic. And so it's difficult for me to come to the perspective and say, listen, guys, you know, I mean, it's stressing them out so much. And so I don't know if I should.
When you say it's stressing them out, sorry to interrupt, but when you say it's stressing, it's because the way you set it up, it sounded like they kind of like this arrangement too, but you're saying it's stressing them out?
I think that they do like the arrangement, which why wouldn't you like the arrangement to see your grandkids? But I can see the toll that it takes on them. I mean, that they are just stretching themselves like a piece of gum, you know? I mean, and so, yes, I do think that they like it, but I guess that I guess what you're saying maybe is there's nothing I can do about it if they want to be a piece of gum.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I guess you are limited. We're always limited as to how much we can, influence other people's need to set boundaries, especially if they're getting something out of it. But I think that, let me ask you, so just... How close are you to? And I know you adore
physically
them,
close?
But like geographically close, and how often do you have?
I was going to ask the same question.
Interactions with both, your dad and his wife, and then also these other kids.
My entire family and I live within maybe 2 miles of another. Right.
Okay.
So let me ask you this question, Maria. So this is a lot on you, but if your dad and his wife are watching these little ones, is it possible for you to drop by and help out for a couple of hours
or
and do some of the heavy lifting so that they can still see the grandkids and love on the grandkids but not exhaust themselves? Is that something you could do, or is that just not within your schedule?
It's okay if it's not.
No, it is something I can do, but let me just extend it a little bit further. They leave them with them not just during the day. They will leave them for days at a time while they go.
You ever said to them, to the parents of these children, have you ever said to them, I'm so glad you want them to have a relationship with, dad and the wife here, but did you feel like because of the health issues that they're completely safe and being taken care of? Because I'm a little concerned that they can't quite keep up the pace that of a young child anymore. Kind of put them on the awareness of maybe these aren't people who can keep up with
little ones,
the little kids.
Well, I mean, and that is one of the things that even, a couple of my friends have said. They're like, this is an irresponsible situation. I'm like, my dad has had a stroke. She's got two types of cancer. These are little bitty kids. They're getting him up in the morning. They're doing this. They're this. And so, and so I guess that's my question is maybe I should just take one of them aside and say, look, have you thought about this? Because honestly, I've got to tell you, Lisa, I don't think that they think about another person but themselves.
No, I think that's probably true. No, they sound like fairly selfish people. I mean,
that or desperate. I don't know which one it is. But you say they can afford,
Well, and they're doing this to travel. It's not that they're doing it because they both have to work,
true.
Right? So yeah. I mean, you want to be careful how much you can fight this battle because you're going to get undermined by your parents.
They definitely want to be with these little ones, especially as you said, because they're feeling the pressure of the limited amount of time they
right.
have left.
Right. So you have to be careful there. When yeah, because if you push too hard, then the other family will get mad at you, and your dad and his wife will not support you, and then you're going to be on the outs, right? So you have to be careful. The way I would suggest approaching this is just by saying to that other family, exactly what Lisa suggested, right?
Very gently.
I'm really glad that you want the kids to see their grandparents, and they certainly love seeing the kids. But I just, have you ever thought that maybe they're not up to keeping up with them this much? This is a lot to ask. How do you feel about that? And make it about the kids' safety than about your parents.
Although I am going to say, Maria, I'm warning you now. You open your mouth and they might say, you're right. I'll bring them to your house instead. And then you've got that whole kettle of
well,
fish. Well,
and if, you know, and if, and that's the other way, I guess, to approach it is to give them an alternative to say, you know, look, I would be willing to watch them sometimes. Or and if you're not, then don't offer that.
Yeah, don't.
But that's, those are the only really two ways to have this conversation. And the qualifier I'm going to put on that is be really careful, because this isn't really your battle when it comes down to it. And if you try to take it on too much, then you're going to get undermined by your dad and his wife. And
will then be
and
mad
vilified.
At you for stealing their grandchildren and their last moments with them. And so what we're going to say first and foremost here, Maria, is pray on this.
Yeah.
Please pray on this and really, you know, figure that out with the Lord. But if you decide that this is something you have to say, do it with great caution.
All right, Maria, thank you so much for the call. Thanks for letting us think through this with you. And if there's more that we can do once you've had a chance to pray about it a little bit more, don't hesitate to give us another call. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Out of Bounds, as we talk about those times when we're struggling to either set limits or get people to respect our boundaries, or for that matter, help someone we care about set better boundaries. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled Out of Bounds. Are people struggling to respect your boundaries? Maybe you're having a hard time setting them in the first place. Or maybe someone you care about isn't setting boundaries they should be setting, and you're wondering how to help them. 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out.
Let's talk now with James, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana on Covenant Radio.
James, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, I was calling in. It's my whole situation is with my wife. I'm kind of at a point right now where I don't know what to do. But
okay, so what's going on?
So I get my marriage is chaotic.
I guess is basically the best way to say it.
You know, there's a lot of fights that happen quite a bit over like very very little things. I mean, mm-hmm. almost a constant. You know, during the day, just in the morning, a normal conversation will turn bad in no time. My wife is like, mm-hmm. I don't know. She's very, it seems to be sensitive to, things. Like even riding in a car together, it gets chaotic. Just, you know, her telling me how to drive, you know, stop. I mean
that's
very,
I'll level with you, James. That's marriage.
Yeah. I actually am seeing more and more like couples will say, we get along great unless we're driving in a car together.
The car thing, not the best example, but I get what you're saying about the other stuff.
But if the rest of it's chaotic, or you say on the board that it gets sort of violent.
Yeah, you mentioned to our screener that she has become physically violent with you.
Okay, it can't. It just depends on how much I guess, if I call out the action, so like if in the morning sometimes, say in the winter time, I guess best way to explain it, when we first got married, it's like these little things started building up, things she didn't like, and it was little things mm-hmm. like sitting in a rocking chair, rocking. All of a sudden she didn't like me to rock. So when, you know, even now to this day, you sit in a chair, you can't move, rocking chair. Then it's like the TV had to be on but very low, you couldn't even hear the TV, and then just over time these things and like driving in the car.
She has a lot of rules about things, and if you don't follow them then she gets upset and things kind of blow up from there. Can I ask James, what have you guys tried to do to resolve these issues, to get new skills, to get along better?
Well, I've tried to ask her to go to like counseling once or twice, you know, because mm-hmm. So like I said, these arguments, and I'm gonna say I don't argue with her. Well, if mm-hmm. I just.
But you've asked her to go to counseling, and she just refuses, or what happens?
Refuses. Okay. No, she was absolutely not. I'm not going to the counselor. I'm not going.
Okay.
There. You can say. You
but
can
that's
say
okay. So. So here's the, here, and I'm sorry I'm going to just jump in because we have a hard break here in 30 seconds. They're going to push us out. So I'm going to ask you to stick around till after the break, and we'll have some additional advice. But I will offer this initial comment. She doesn't want to go to counseling because the marriage works for her, right? She has these rules and you don't fight back. You don't like it. But ultimately she's getting what she wants. And if she goes to counseling, she realizes that she's going to have to give up some of that control. And so her, like a lot of spouses who resist counseling, do it because they understand it's not going to benefit them. So what do you do in that situation? Well, we'll talk about it more when More to Life continues after the break. We're taking your calls, listeners, on our show today titled Out of Bounds as we talk about how to set healthy, godly boundaries and how to make them stick. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls right after this. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi there. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Imagine being married to someone who regularly goes out of their way to make your life easier and more pleasant. Someone who's willing to make little sacrifices just to see you smile. It's as if this person said, I do to the marriage, not just on your wedding day, but every day. Relationship experts call these qualities emotional rapport and benevolence. Research by the Gottman Institute found that healthy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of these sorts of positive interactions when they're not in conflict. Can you imagine how that might affect a marriage? According to Gottman, couples with high levels of emotional support and benevolence are more likely to give one another the benefit of the doubt when one of them accidentally offends the other. Such couples are better at avoiding conflict and handling it more gracefully when it occurs. High levels of benevolence lead to greater trust, too, and that in turn leads to greater intimacy and sharing. Thankfully, even couples who don't have high levels of benevolence and emotional rapport can cultivate it. It all starts with finding those little ways of saying, I do, every day. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or for more personal support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today on More to Life, Out of Bounds, as we talk about the challenge of setting boundaries that actually stick. How do we set them in the first place? How do we get people to respect them? How do we help the people we care about set better boundaries when we feel like they're being taken advantage of? 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with James from Louisiana, listening on Covenant Catholic Radio. And James was sharing that he's been married for 15 years, but his wife has a lot of little rules about things like, you know, if he's sitting in a rocking chair, he shouldn't rock because it kind of annoys her. Or having the TV turned down so low that nobody can hear it, and if he tries to turn it up, she gets upset. Those kinds of things. And
driving is a real issue.
And you know, he also mentioned that, you know, conversations will blow up without him necessarily knowing why. And she's even gotten physically violent at some times. James, is that all correct? Is that a fair summary of your complaint?
Yes, we've heard it. Yeah, and like the, when they do get, when these things do get pretty rough. So she, when she does get mad, like, Just, I mean, for, you know, like, you know, I can quietly say, you know, well, this really wasn't a big thing. Why is it a big deal? I mean, and then it'll just escalate. It'll just escalate. So basically, I guess to end the argument, I just have to pretty much be silent and just allow her to, speak. And then the things that are said are pretty out. I mean, you know, awesome. Like,
yeah,
you're a horrible father and husband. You're a horrible this or that, and even
sure.
At times, you know, I wish you would die.
That's horrible.
I'm even in spit
James,
on.
She's really emotionally abusive at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me. I can tell you what to do about it, but I think you're going to need some support to pull it off. All right, and here's why. So. What Lisa said is absolutely right. That's not just being, you know, angry or frustrated. That's emotionally abusive at the very least. And you also described that sometimes she becomes physical, and that's unacceptable as well. what's going on here, and you also mentioned before the break that you have proposed counseling before, but she absolutely refuses to go. And like I said before the break, the reason for that, and generally speaking, when a spouse resists counseling, nobody wants to go to counseling. You know, it's not a lot of fun, let's face it, right? But, you know, the only reason a spouse will resist counseling is because they know that if they go to counseling, things are going to change. And they like things the way they are because they're getting what they want. The marriage works for them. And right now, the marriage works for your wife, right? Because all she has to do is yell and scream and stomp her feet and, you know, threaten and name call. And eventually you just get tired of the fight, so she gets what she wants. And she knows that if she goes to counseling with you, that's going to have to change. So, of course, she doesn't want to go. But I would suggest that what you want to do is begin working yourself with what we would call a marriage-friendly therapist. Now, that's a counselor who's actually been trained in marriage and family therapy and who has gotten supervision in doing effective marriage and family therapy. But that person will also work with individuals in a way that's respectful of the relationship, right? So the reason I make this distinction is because there are lots of therapists out there who will say they do relationship counseling, but they have really no training in it. Their success rate is in the 20% range, where marriage-friendly therapists who have training and supervision in marriage and family therapy are in the 90% range. So there's a big difference on the effectiveness. And even working individually with somebody like this, they're able to help you know what boundaries to set and also what ways to build rapport that will help move the marriage to a healthier place even when you're the only one working on it. Right? And this is a lot of the kind of work that we do actually in the CatholicCounselors.com. So if that's something you'd like to take advantage of, we can follow up with that later. But here's what's going to have to happen, James. We're going to have to get you to a place where you're strong enough to look at your wife and say, honey, I love you, and I'm sorry you're upset. But I can't talk to you in this way, so we can either take it down a couple of notches or I can't listen to what you're talking about. Now, that's going to enrage her, right? I need you to be prepared for that. And she's going to lose her mind, at which point you just keep saying, broken record, I understand that you're upset, but I can't engage with you when you're like this. I'm happy to talk about this if you can approach me respectfully and calmly.
And again, you're staying.
But I'm not going to discuss this with you like this.
Still as a... you know, pond in the summer. You're keeping yourself level. You're not getting emotional. You're not letting her drag you into a yelling and screaming match.
But you're not
cowering either.
But you're not addressing anything she's saying either.
Right.
You're addressing what we'll call the meta conversation. You're having a conversation about the conversation, and you're just holding the line. Right, so then she calls you a horrible husband and father and says, I wish you were dead. And he's like, I get that you're upset, but I can't talk to you when you're like this. I love you. I want to talk to you. I'm happy to work this out, but I'm not going to talk to you this way. If you can approach me respectfully and appropriately, then we can have this conversation. You let me know when you're ready. And you just keep saying that over and over and over again. What's going to happen is, again, at some point, at first she's going to escalate and become even crazier, right? But then she's going to maybe stomp out, or maybe she'll hit you. If she hits you, you need to call the police.
Yes, you do.
All right? Domestic violence, even when it's directed from a wife to a husband, is unacceptable. And she needs to understand that physical violence is never okay. If she threatens you physically or strikes you, it's okay to call the police and report that. But that, as a little codicil there. But what she'll probably do more likely is stomp out. Then when she comes back, she's going to try to pretend that nothing ever happened and it's all fine now. At which point, you know, she might say, so, you know, how was your day or what's going, you know, whatever, some trivial thing. And you need to kind of come back with, you know, honey, I love you, but until you can acknowledge how hurtful you were with the things you did and said and have that conversation with me respectfully, you're not a safe person to have this conversation with. So let's, when you're ready to talk about that and apologize for the way you were, you let me know and we'll talk through that. But until then, I can't talk to you about, you know, dinner or current events or whatever it is.
Or anything.
And you're going to hold that line as long as it takes. And it might take a month. I had a wife do this with a husband. It took her literally a month of saying over and over again, honey, I love you, and I'm willing to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, but until you can apologize for the way you treated me and we can have that conversation respectfully, I can't talk to you about dinner or what the kids need to be picked up when or what we're doing this weekend. And she literally, that was the only thing she said to the guy over and over again for a month before he finally got it. But once he got it, then he was ready to work with her, and we were able to make some progress. That's what it's going to take in this situation, which is why I say, after 15 years of this kind of treatment, you might not be in a position to pull this off by yourself. But working with a good counselor who can help heal some of those internal wounds that prevent you from setting those healthy boundaries will go a long way to transforming this relationship, both for you and for her. So if you'd like to learn some faithful ways to deal with this, I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Either way, if you want to work with somebody, find a good marriage-friendly therapist locally who'll work with you individually to start making some changes in the relationship. But it's really all about how to set those boundaries that say to her, I'm willing to have this conversation. I love you. I'm sorry that you're upset, and I want to help you feel better. But respect is the price of admission here. I cannot have this conversation with you unless you're approaching me respectfully, appropriately, and like the grown-up woman that you are. And when you're ready to do that, I promise you I'll be here to work through it with you. James, we talk about this more in my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which looks at 8 research-based habits that help healthy couples have successful relationships, and those habits can be taught to any couple. So check that out if you'd like more information on this, or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for more personalized assistance with this issue. Thanks for the call, James. I hope that these suggestions that we've made on the call will be helpful. If there's more we can do, you know where to find us. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Give us a call. We're talking about boundaries today on our show titled Out of Bounds, as we discuss those challenges in setting good boundaries in the first place and making them stick, especially when people don't want to listen to them. 877-573-7825.
Sorry about that. And before we go to our break, we want to send out congratulations to our longtime EWTN radio partner, Salt and Light Radio, serving Idaho with 9 AM and FM stations in English and Spanish. They're celebrating 15 years with EWTN.
So congratulations to Keith Pettyjohn and his great team at Salt and Light Radio from your friends here at EWTN. And remember, wherever you're listening to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN station with your prayers, certainly, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come, so we can keep supporting you in living a more joyful and abundant life. With that, as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 147, verse 14.
It's short, but it says what it means. He makes peace in your borders.
So, boys and girls, where does God make peace?
In your borders, which means boundaries you set.
That's right. So, having those good boundaries enable us to have peace, not because we're cutting people out of our lives. Again, a good boundary is not primarily a way to cut people out. A good boundary is a way to let people in a healthy way. I use this metaphor all the time, but I think it's a good visualization. You know, you imagine somebody who's constantly climbing in the back window of your house, and you don't like it because they're knocking over your plants and they're making a mess in the carpet, and you just really don't want them climbing in the back window anymore. So you put bars over the back window, and you say, if you want to come in my house, you're welcome. You just have to walk through the front door like everybody else. And they stand in the backyard, and they scream, and they curse, and they call you all kinds of names because you're being unreasonable, and don't you know how special they are to you, and they should be allowed the privilege of climbing in the back window, and what's wrong with you, and how come? What kind of Christian do you think you are, right? Have you done anything wrong? No. Have you cut them out of your life? No. If they want to come in your house, just walk through the front door. That's a boundary, right? And so if you just let them stay in the backyard kicking and screaming and tantruming because you won't let them climb through the window anymore, that's on them. You're letting them come in your home by the front door, like everybody else. That's what a good boundary is. It gives people a healthy way to do the unhealthy thing they're trying to do. And then it's up to them whether they want to accept that or not. And if they don't, they alienate themselves. But if they do accept that boundary, then you're helping both of you have a healthier and holier relationship. Going back to the psalm here, he makes peace in your borders, because when we have those healthy boundaries, we help people interact with us in healthy, holy ways. And that's what we're called to do. We are taking your calls about boundaries on our show today, titled Out of Bounds. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, our show is titled Out of Bounds, as we talk about the challenge of setting good boundaries and making them stick. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Cheryl, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Cheryl, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Yes, I haven't spoken to my father now for almost a year because he was not keeping the boundaries that I was trying to set in regards to talking to me as a person and not being mean and nasty. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know if I need to reach back out and try to reset that boundary, or since I've tried in the past for multiple years and he just refuses to have boundaries.
So tell me more about, okay, well, that's interesting. So tell me more about, what was the boundary that you set exactly? What did you say to him?
That he needs to speak with me as a person and not mm-hmm. use foul language and treat me like I'm his daughter and not his a horrible person. I mean, he just was not speaking to me very well at all.
And so when you set that boundary, then he stopped reaching out to you altogether?
No, he just, every time he called, it was still him being very, very nasty, and I took this and took this and took this, and finally mm-hmm. I'm the one that said, I just can't do this anymore, so I quit all contact with him.
Okay, so but does he know that you would like to speak with him if he could be respectful? Or does he have the impression that you've just cut off contact with him?
Oh, no. We've had many conversations about talking to people respectfully, not just me. I meant my kids and everything. So I meant, mm-hmm. I think he's chosen his way of life over okay. his family.
So when you, because your call is about, you know, you're asking, should you reset the boundary in some way or change it in some way because he hasn't responded the way you were hoping he would. Can you help me understand kind of what's making you rethink the boundary at this point?
Just, I mean, not talking, you know, I just got back from adoration this morning and just mm-hmm. in my heart, I feel like I'm supposed to reach out because he's my father.
No, I understand that, and you know, I think it's good to pray about these things on a regular basis and really see if God's asking us to do something different. But here's how we assess whether we need to change a boundary or not. It comes down to one of two things. You know, either the other person has changed and so they're safe to be around or safer to be around in some way, or we've gotten stronger and can take the treatment that we're being given and not have to spend the rest of the day putting ourselves back together again.
Even if they haven't changed at all. Even if you go back and he doubles down on all his behavior, you've grown enough that it will not affect you and enough that it's going to shake up your day or your week or your life.
Now, I will say this. I mean, you know, in that case, you also have to ask yourself, you know, even if I'm strong enough to handle their behavior, you know, am I enabling them to sin against me? In which case, you know, my very presence becomes an occasion of sin for that person. You know, if you can't stop yourself from cussing me out and behaving horribly to me when I'm around you, sometimes the most loving thing I can do is remove that temptation and stay away from you. You know, because I don't want to bring that out in you, right? So you want to think about that, even if you're strong enough to handle it. You know, is there something about you that's provoking him to that? In which case, the more loving thing to do is to stay away. So those are kind of two things to think about. Has he either changed in any way, or have you gotten stronger and you know, would you being there bring this out in him, or really that doesn't make a difference. When we're setting a boundary, it's not about, again, cutting people out. It's about saying, look, I would love to be around you if you can do this. And if you can't, then I'm sorry. I love you too much to let you keep acting like that way around me. So I need to have my distance. If you're going to do anything, because it wasn't clear to me that you said to him that you'd like to have that relationship with him, it sounded like you were saying, I just can't take this anymore and I don't want to talk to you. If that's the case, then I don't think it would hurt to clarify. Maybe in a text or a letter or whatever that says, look, Dad, I'm serious about the boundary. You are mean to me, and I'm not a place where I can really take that, and frankly, it's beneath you. And so I don't want to encourage that behavior. But if you want to be in a relationship with me and you think that you can stop treating me that way, I would be very happy to have you reach out. And then, you know, he knows then that what the deal really is. It's not just that you're saying, I want you to be respectful. It's, you know, as long as you can do that, then I do want to have that relationship with him. Now, if you feel like you have communicated that with him already, then fine, it's done. And nothing's changed, so why would you change the boundary? You know, when you go to adoration and you pray about the relationship, I think it's good to pray for him. I think it's good to reflect, you know, am I leaving the door open in some way to have a healthy interaction? But you don't want to just relax the boundary because you feel different.
Yeah, you okay, here's the thing. You said, Cheryl, I feel like I should reach back out because he's my father. We, as Western people, I don't know how it is in the rest of the world, but as Western people, we put an awful lot of emphasis on people's titles. Because they're my mother, my father, my sibling, my priest, my boss, my whatever, my best friend since kindergarten. We give people a lot more latitude in our lives to behave badly than we would if they were a stranger coming into our life asking for a relationship. We don't have to give them that much grace just because they have this title. In fact, because they're our mother, our father, our sibling, they actually should be treating us better than some stranger on the street.
We have a right to expect more from those people who have those titles.
It's not just that we should be treating them better. You know, we are their child or sibling, too. They should be treating us better. And we don't have to be twisting ourselves up into an emotional or spiritual mess because, oh, they're my dad, oh, they're my mom. I have to give them all of this grace. Grace that may not, as Greg was saying, actually serve their soul or their well-being in any way.
So again, I mean, as you're praying through this, ask yourself in prayer, you know, has my dad changed in any way? You know, if so, then maybe I should change that boundary. Because, you can ask yourself, you know, maybe are there certain situations where he tends to behave better? Like, you know, I can have a 5-minute phone call with him losing it on me.
Or I can go to a restaurant that doesn't serve alcohol with him, and we can have a nice meal and then go our separate ways without him being abusive.
But I can't go to his house because he always loses it there. Or I can't talk about these things because he's never respectful when those topics come up. Right? So you set specific boundaries to the places where he tends to behave himself better. If that doesn't exist, then you hold the boundary that you've got right here where you just can't be around him because of the way he's treating you. Because it's not so much about what you feel, it's about what's actually changed. Right? So as long as you're clear that you've given him a way forward, and if he's not taking that way, you know, going back to my metaphor, you know, if you've barred the back windows because you're tired of him climbing in through the back window, but you've left the front door unlocked, and he's just choosing to stay in the backyard screaming at you because you won't unbar the windows, that's kind of on him. You know, the door's open if he wants to walk through it. And so you're not cutting him out. You're not being disrespectful to your father. You're not dishonoring him anyway. In fact, you're honoring him by saying, I expect that he's capable of behaving like a rational, civil human being, like everybody else, and walk through the front door. So Shirley, I hope these suggestions and walking through it this way will give you some more food for discernment. But I think that you're pretty good keeping the boundary where you're at, and don't change it just because you feel differently. Change it because the situation is different in some way. We talk more about all of this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's ultimately a book about how to set boundaries in ways that leave the door open for a healthier relationship in the future, but also insulate you from that drama or those injuries, and you know, really help you not just get caught up in and accidentally enabling other people to engage in sinful and unhealthy behavior. Again, that's God Help Me. These people are driving me nuts. Making peace with difficult people. That book and all of our other titles are available at CatholicCounselors.com. While you're there, you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. Then, of course, get out there and celebrate the life that God wants for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.